Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing? Did you survive everything?
Yes, other than the bout with tryptophan.
Yes, absolutely. But that's okay. You need a little bit of that every now and then. You need some rest.
No, you need a lot of that, and then you throw in the whole wheat bread and the mayo and the cold turkey sandwich. You guys handle the show. I'm out of here.
Absolutely. Still working on the leftovers. I love it. And we have with us in the studio, of course, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua, our resident in-house lending expert. Tom, how you doing?
You know, I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited for the holidays and looking forward to Christmas now. It's just a fun time of the year.
It is. Yeah, it really is, and busy. And it seems like we're running out of days.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the...
And running out of time in those days.
Yes, with the later holiday and stuff going on. And there's a lot happening in the real estate market, too. We kind of... Last week, before it looks like we're pretty much cold again, but we had another week and a half of good weather mixed in, and this time of year it really goes like that, where people are stuck inside and kind of hibernating, but that also gives them a lot of time to jump online, look at all of our websites, and then bam, I mean, right up till Wednesday night last week, I mean, we were swamped.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I looked at last year, and we only closed 8 loans in January last year, which is not a good month by my standards at all. And this November, we took probably more applications than I took all year long, which sets you up for a good December.
Yeah.
Great January.
Absolutely. So still a lot of people doing business, huge spike in activity, and a lot of people out there looking. So there is still time. We had last month with you, Tom, at Umpqua. We had some, you know, we had some 2-week closings last month.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. So when you think about it, there's still time to potentially find that house, knock it out before the end of the year. And we've got a pretty big list of clients that are looking right now.
I got a deal. Any homes that we go under contract from now through Christmas, we put a Christmas tree in their house.
Now through Christmas.
How about that?
Okay, you'll put a tree in their house. Okay, I love it. That is absolutely fantastic. Well, very, very good. And we also want to say thanks again to a lot of our clients, past clients, family, relatives, and friends that we got to see over the last week. And we went and we visited a lot of past clients and had people come to the office and stop in to see us and really for the Thanksgiving holiday. So, one, I just want to say thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to everybody for all of their referrals and everything they did. And it's great seeing everybody this time of year and kind of getting updated on where people have been. We always like to start off with our crazy real estate, the Dream Builder story, what we've got going on. So last week, I talked about the most expensive home on the market. It was on the West Coast in Beverly Hills. Now we're going to go East Coast and find the matching expensive estate over there. And I'll tell you what, it is in the Hamptons. So in the Hamptons, we have an 18-acre estate.
The Hamptons.
And it sold for, in $147 million. That was the most expensive in the spring that it sold. And there's a new one that just hit the market. It's not 18 acres, but it's 11 acres, and it just hit the market for $140. Now, this home, it's absolutely incredible. In the last 80 years, it's only been owned by 3 families.
Hmm.
So it's only turned hands 3 times in that 80-year history.
Well, because there's only 3 people that can afford that. Right?
There you go, folks. I think he summed it up right there. It's absolutely incredible. It has a quarter of a mile spans over a quarter mile with panoramic views right on the ocean, 11.2 acres, huge main house, plus big guest house. I mean, the place is absolutely incredible. So fun pictures to go look at. There's your, in case you were in the market in that 150 million range, just so you know, I've got two great choices for you now. So that's our crazy celebrity real estate story. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, we were kind of going over inspection reports the last couple of weeks and dealing with a lot of inspection items and repairs. And so it's always this time of year when people are inside their house. It's getting cold outside, so you have time to really look around and see what are some of the maintenance issues I can do in the house that are more than likely to come out on inspections. And also, in pricing a home, I had a lot of conversations the last 2 weeks. We've been on a ton of listing appointments for new inventory that's coming on the market. I think 6 new listings that we put on the market in the last week and a half.
Wow.
So in a market that has lower inventory, we're out there grabbing what we can grab, getting it on the market so that the buyers have some choices out there. But one of the biggest things that we talk about with a lot of these clients up front is you are more than likely going to encounter in this process a home inspection. And what that home inspection in our area, it is actually customary to have a home inspection done on a house. In fact, it would be strange or a red flag or a curveball if you were dealing with an offer that didn't have a home inspection. That's how customary it is here. And part of that reason, some of that's liability, part of that reason is that so buyers have become more informed and more educated over the last 10 or 15 years and wanting to know, the gist of it is, if you're going to spend a couple $100,000, you might spend a couple $100,000 to make sure that investment is what you're getting.
It's like buying a used car.
Okay, I'll take it. Absolutely.
I don't need to test drive it.
Yeah,
right?
I don't need to test drive. I don't need to see a mechanic look at it.
Well, the maintenance records, the oil changes, the paint, you know.
So that's a great analogy. That's exactly what it's designed for. So I would say that 98% of the offers that we see on homes come with what's called an inspection addendum to the purchase and sale agreement. And what this is a negotiated time period. It's generally 10 to 15 days, a negotiated time period for the buyer to have. And the agreement reads exactly like this. This agreement is conditioned on the buyer's subjective satisfaction with inspections of the property and the improvements on the property. So that's a 10 to 15 day period for the buyer to hire inspectors, to hire experts to come in, look at the property, and then approve it to their subjective satisfaction. Now, that's a difficult line in there, and sometimes it's very difficult for sellers because that's pretty open-ended for a buyer. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that after inspections they might not want a house. And I'll tell you what, the most frustrating time for sellers, and it happens not very often, but once or twice a year, I'll tell you what, the most frustrating thing that can happen is a buyer has a home inspection, they send you over a notice that says, buyer's inspection of the property is disapproved. Buyer terminates the agreement. And you call me, you're like, well, why did you guys back out? And they're like, well, they didn't like it anymore. Or they didn't like the inspection report, but they won't give you a reason.
Hmm.
Now, they're not required to contractually by this agreement. They're not required to give you a reason. Out of courtesy, of course, you would like one because as a seller, you want to fix that or not to have to again. So that, when we're looking at the spectrum, we're going to go over today what's the far end of the spectrum. On the most extreme case is there's a home inspection and the buyer just backs out because they didn't like the property. Well, with that language in there, it can be that subjective. More than likely, though, what ends up happening is that the buyer finds a couple things. So what are the home inspectors looking at? Boy, I tell you what, the home inspectors these days, I mean, they are really going over these properties with a fine-tooth comb. They're looking under the house in the crawl space. They're looking for structural deficiencies. They're looking for any sort of damaging pest infestations. They're checking out all the electrical. They're checking out all the plumbing for any leaks. They're checking out the insulation factors in the house. They're checking on the roof. So, I mean, they're really a good home inspection on a typical sized house. Say we're at a 2,000 to 2,300 square foot house, and that home inspection is going to take, on average, 3 hours for an inspector to go through house that size. If it's bigger, it'll take longer. Maybe if it's a little bit smaller, a little less time. But generally, that's what we're looking at. Now, these home inspections are generally paid for by the buyer. That question comes up a lot. People are like, well, why doesn't the seller pay for that? Or I thought the seller paid for it. One of the things that has happened in years past, and the argument for this has been, is that when a seller pays for a buyer's home inspection, it kind of creates a conflict of interest for, is that home inspector now working for the seller, or are they working for the buyer?
Mm-hmm.
And so to make sure there's no conflict of interest there, industry standard kind of has these home inspections that the buyer is hiring that inspection, paying for it themselves. There's clear lines of differentiation of exactly who that home inspector works for. A lot of our inspectors, and we've had many of them on the show over the last couple of years, but the technology has really allowed them to turn these reports faster. A lot of them are using smartphones, tablets, recording devices, digital pictures. They're making that report as they go through the house. Most often we have that report the same afternoon as the inspection, and at the latest, usually the next day. The nice part about this is the digital cameras and the recording have made it a lot easier for us to show the defects to the contractors. A lot of times you can take that inspection report, get it right over to the other agent so the seller can look at it, and usually by the end of the day we have a roofer out there and he knows exactly, there's no question, it shows which shingles are missing. So the inspection reports over the last 6 years have really made our job as agents a lot easier, and I think the buyers are now getting a better representation of exactly what they're getting. So those are some of the things that come up with the inspection process. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about what are the top 4 or 5 things as a homeowner I can ensure are happening from a maintenance issue in my house and prior to selling so that I'm ready to pass that home inspection with flying colors.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about home inspections, what we see in today's market, and kind of making sure people are prepared for that. I talked to a couple sellers this week, and they said, well, I've got an issue with my roof. It was part of a class action lawsuit. I don't know how that's going to come up. Not her roof specifically, the product. Okay, I should clarify, the product that was on the roof. And there was no leaks or anything. Everything had been fine. And I said, well, that's going to be in my pricing analysis. I'm already putting that into the pricing. And so the client, we had to have a discussion about that and talk about it because the client was like, well, what if the roof's fine, though? Why does it need to be in your price? And I'm like, well, because the buyer's going to have a home inspection, and the home inspector's going to tell them these things, and so they're just going to automatically plan for replacement. So it's kind of noticing those things up front, ahead of time, being prepared for that, and then deciding what items we might need to fix before putting the house on the market, what maintenance items you can do as a homeowner, and we're going to talk about that today, to make that happen. But before we do that, let's get a lending update with Tom over there at Umpqua. And Tom, how's things going? I know we're going to have a big push coming up here before the end of the year.
Yeah, we sure are. And I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I've been seeing a scenario quite often here lately, and that's people wanting to buy a new home and retain their current residence.
Absolutely. It's that time of year people were maybe not expecting to find what they were looking for. pops on the market, and it's a great deal.
Yeah, absolutely. So this brings up a whole bunch of different guidelines that we don't traditionally have to follow. So I want to talk about those. The first is, let's say you want to buy a new house, and even your current one's up for sale, or you're keeping it for whatever reason, you have to qualify with both house payments.
Okay.
Even if your home is under contract to sell, but you're going to close on the new one first, because what if that other sale falls through? We're always looking at things worst case. So we're going to qualify you with both house payments. And on most programs, we require that your debt-to-income is below 45%. Now, debt-to-income is basically a calculation we use where you add up all of your monthly credit expenses and the current house and projected house payments and divide it by your gross income. It doesn't count utilities, cell phones, things like that. So just things that would show up on your credit report. It's really important that we see that below 45% on most programs. Now, if you qualify with both house payments, the next thing we look for is reserves. Now, reserves are money that you have in the bank that we show that it's available, but we don't have to use them. So 1 month reserve is equivalent to 1 month house payment. We're going to need to see 6 months reserves on both houses.
Okay, so you're going to have a chunk of change built up there.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's going to be in addition to the whatever down payment you're coming in with. Now, one thing that helps a lot of people is the retirement funds, because most retirement accounts, and we have to verify this, but most retirement accounts have a clause in there that you can access those funds to prevent foreclosure or under hardship. If there's a clause in your retirement account that says you can withdraw these funds under a hardship, we'll allow you to use those retirement funds as reserves.
Well, that makes it nice then.
Yeah, absolutely. So most people, you know, maybe they have $20,000, $30,000, that just takes care of that issue right there. And again, you don't have to use those funds, you don't have to withdraw them, you just have to show they're available. Now, one thing that we have, it's a nice feature we have on our loans, is called a reamortization or recast. A lot of people purchase a new home and they're going to be selling their current house afterwards, and when they sell their current home, they know they're going to have a large chunk of proceeds from that sale, and they want to apply it towards the new principal balance. Well, on a standard loan, when they apply that principal balance, that payment doesn't change. They're just jumping ahead in the amortization schedule, so they're going to be paying the home off sooner. But a lot of people do want to see that payment change. And without a reamortization or recast, the only way to get your payment to change off the new balance is to do a refi, and of course, you have all those closing costs again. So we'll allow the client to recast their payments based off of the new current balance at any time throughout the loan, an unlimited amount of times, as long as they're paying at least 10% of that balance all at once. And what is really nice about it, instead of having to pay for full refinance fees, it's, I think we charge $300 to do it.
That's fantastic. So would this work even if, like, you were getting an inheritance and you wanted to pay off, you know, you had a $200,000 loan, and instead of paying off the whole thing, you're like, you know, I just want to pay off $100,000 of it and then recast the payments. That would work for that?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't care where the money's coming from. They're going to call us, tell us what they want to do. They're going to come to the branch. We're going to help them fill out a form, send at least 10% of the balance off. Next month's payments, recast it off that new balance.
Oh, that's a great program.
And I even understood that.
Yeah, all right, McKay.
Wow.
I love it. Very nice. I like that. That works really well for when the other house sells.
Yeah, so speaking of when that other house sells, maybe they're now getting to the point where they're below 80% loan-to-value. And above 80%, you have to pay mortgage insurance or PMI. And let's say they, within the first 4 months, are able to pay that down by any means to below 80%. We'll use the original appraisal that was done, if it's within the first 4 months, and help them drop off their mortgage insurance. Now, if you're past 4 months, you're going to get a new appraisal to verify you have that 20% equity. Some people think that mortgage insurance just automatically drops off when you pay it down to 80% loan value, and that's not the case. Fannie Mae's rule is that you're going to pay mortgage insurance every single month until the original date you're scheduled to reach 78%.
Gotcha.
So if you put 5% down on a 30-year loan, you're looking at 105 months. It's right in there. So even if you pay extra, it's not automatically going to drop off. So you have to physically request to get it taken off and get a new appraisal if you're after 4 months. Now, last thing I want to go over real quick is, let's say you want to convert your current home into a rental at the time of purchasing a new one. You can use the prospective rental income from the house you're vacating if you can show you have 30% equity in that home. If you can't show you have 30% equity, you have to qualify comply with both house payments. So that's important to know. But a lot of things come up when you're in a scenario like this. So if you have any specific questions about your situation, feel free to give me a call, 783-7300.
Tom, I smile every time you say that, convert your house to a rental. I still have my first one in Kennewick. I've just kept it all these years. And, I converted it to a rental years ago, did that program, and it's just been absolutely fantastic.
It's a great way for people to build long-term wealth.
And I'm probably a little emotionally attached to it, but as long as it's still renting, it makes financial sense. It's really great, and it's a great, great program, so I appreciate you mentioning that. I do want to get we talked about those new listings, and I want to jump in here with some fantastic new listings. We've got a really, really great opportunity out on North Harrington Road, West Richland. Fantastic, fantastic neighborhood out there. This is 106704 North Harrington Road. And what this is a four-bedroom, three-bath, let's just call it a country retreat. Fantastic home on 3 acres. You come into this home, 3,000 square feet home, large living room. It has the super high soaring ceilings, masonry fireplace. Kitchen has a breakfast bar, tons of cabinets, double ovens. You've got the family room with the wood stove right off of the kitchen, thinking holiday entertaining there. You were talking about that, mm-hmm. Tom, with Christmas. Just a really, really fantastic, fantastic place. You got the slider off the living room. You got a covered deck that looks at this yard. Mature landscaping, really private garden, covered patio. Outdoor entertaining, huge, 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 amazing property with the big trees. You're getting all of this with a barn for $355,000.
Mm.
So priced really, really well for that neighborhood. And that North Harrington Road area is just really picturesque out there, quiet, very nice place. Now, pick number two, we've already had a couple showings on this, just brand new on the market, and it's going to be a hot one. 8512 Piccadilly Drive in Pasco. This is one of those just great three-bedroom, two-bath Ramblers, West Pasco location, quick access to the freeway, shopping, all the amenities, vaulted ceilings, brand new carpet in the main living area, and the split bedroom design. So you got the master on one side, the other two bedrooms on the other. Just a great, great, clean little place with fully fenced backyard with RV parking. $164,900. Mm-hmm. We talked about those houses that you buy and then keep as a rental.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this one just comes right to mind as a perfect for that scenario. And then pick number three, I've got 9020 Massey Drive. This is also in Pasco. Four-bedroom, three-bath home, great floor plan that gives you formal living and formal dining room. So you don't always get that in those plans, but this one is laid out super, super well. Tile flooring, stainless steel appliances, family room, gas fireplace, large master suite with a walk-in closet, dual sink vanities, large shower, jetted tub. I mean, this is a great, great plan, and we're coming in on this at $219,900. So, great, great inventory available out there. We've got a lot of people still looking. We definitely would love to still time to get you into one of those homes before Christmas. We don't want to drag our feet too long, but to make that happen, but totally still doable. So let us know if you want to check out any of those homes. Like I said, it is still a great, great time of year to be purchasing. To wrap things up here on the inspection side, I wrote down a list of things that people can do inside their own personal home that comes up a lot on home inspections. And what's nice is what you don't want to see on a home inspection is, 42 pages of things that need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what happens is during an inspection time period, if the buyer finds 3 or 4 things, a lot of times that's no big deal, right? But if they find 42 things, the buyer might start to wonder, is this even the house I want? So if you can knock some of that out of the way as a homeowner up front before the inspection, a lot of times it will really, really help. So the number one thing that we see happen a lot, and it's a big ticket item, we see it on almost every home inspection report, and that is your heating and air system. if your heating and air system has not been cleaned twice a year or inspected in the last year, that would be something that you would want to consider doing prior to putting the house on the market. A major system like a heating and air system, which generally runs $7,000 to $14,000 depending on the size of the house, that is a system that home inspectors are going to look at very carefully. And if there's any question on whether that's working or the condition or it hasn't been cleaned or not been cleaned, that's something they're going to call out. So a simple servicing by a local HVAC company, changing to new fresh filters can really help make that home inspection process go better. The worst thing a home inspector likes to see is a dirty filter in a house they're inspecting that hasn't been changed in a year and a half and isn't even working. It's so concaved up in there. And then all of the whole system, you know, is contaminated with that dirt. So heating and air systems checked out and in good working order, that's a big one. I put it down as number one for what we address and see on home inspection reports. Number two, I put down electrical issues. Oh my gosh, this is a fantastic category. And under electrical issues, in parentheses, I wrote down anything that was done by Uncle Bob or a buddy that worked at Hanford that said he was an electrician. And I'm not saying anything bad about anybody that works at Hanford, because there's tons of clients that do. I'm saying anybody that says they were your buddy and was an electrician somewhere else but did not actually charge you to do the electrical work, you might need to have that checked out prior to a home inspection. So we run into that all the time. People, you know, are electrical engineers or have electrical degrees, you know, but it's not the exact same application. And the building inspectors and the electrical inspectors, they look at those things differently. Another thing I wrote down, too, is extension cords that are effectively being used as permanent wiring. If you say that you start the irrigation pump for your yard water by plugging this extension cord into the garage, that could potentially be a problem.
Yeah, I could see that.
So that's a huge one that comes up all the time. And then I put any sort of open wires outside of a junction box or that don't terminate properly or were left open or were spliced together outside of a box with wire nuts. Those are all huge red flags, and these are things that we see all week, every week. And so I just kind of put down on that list, any type of electrical issue like that, please have done by a professional licensed electrician, permitted and inspected prior to selling the house. That's a great way to avoid a lot of problems. Number three that I wrote down, plumbing leaks. Any sort of leaky faucet, leaky sink, water is definitely the enemy of home inspectors. They do not like to see water outside of the pipes, I'll tell you. I will tell you that much for sure. So making sure any sort of plumbing leaks are addressed and fixed prior to the home inspection is a great thing. And then kind of related to the water issue that we see all the time, and I put down cracked grout lines or failed caulking around bathtubs behind sinks in the kitchen are a big one.
Not only that, it attracts dirt.
Exactly. It attracts dirt.
And it makes
dirt.
It look filthy.
It totally,
looks like mold.
It totally does. And so when this happens, you know, right behind a sink, you know, there might be a little settling of the countertops and the grout cracks. Well, there you are washing dishes and always turn that sink off and on, and that's just a great place for that water just to run right down that crack. And so that happens a lot. A lot of times, too, we'll see vinyl flooring that is put down next to showers or bathtubs, and it curls up there on the edge. Maybe the glue loosens because of the humidity in the bathrooms. And that, once again, just another great place for water every day as you walk out of the shower to drip off and run down the side there, eventually causing a bigger problem putting moisture into your subfloor, bubbling up the subfloor. I mean, it goes on and on. So making sure those joints are sealed, closed, and properly caulked shut makes a big, big difference and keeps those items off of your home inspection report. I mean, really the big winner, we actually have a bell at my office that we ring, is when we get an inspection report comes back that says the home inspection is satisfied, no repairs requested.
Wow, nice.
I mean, for us, that's like a lottery ticket that paid off decently.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it shows a homeowner that had a very well-maintained home or a builder that built a fantastically built home. And so we love to get those. It's great for our buyers. It's a testament to the sellers that have sold. And it's a rarity. It's kind of like the unicorn. You don't see them very often, you know? And so we like to see that, and we celebrate it in our office. So unicorns and home inspection reports that don't ask for anything. So,
there you go. I like it.
There you go. That's my summary on the home inspection reports. Once again, we just want to thank everybody for a great Thanksgiving weekend and holiday. Enjoy your last couple days here as we make the mad dash and rush towards the Christmas holiday. Thank you for your referrals and all of your business so far this year. Tom, how can people get a hold of you if they need to work on the mortgage?
You know, please do give me a call at the office, 783-7300, or go to my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week.
We will see you in December on News Talk 870.